You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast.
Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Leon. And Leon, you know, we have a wide array of individuals that listen to this episode. We certainly have a large number of coaches. That is certainly one of the biggest demographics within our group. We've got some players that listen, players more so on the green room side. Shout out to our green room player episodes. If you aren't familiar with that video series, absolutely check it out. These are videos you got to be playing for your athletes. I mean, allow that to open the conversation. Sit your team down. Play the short episodes. So, you know, we have some players listen to the podcast. But most of the players listen there. But I'd say we've got a tremendous amount of coaches, tremendous amount of business leaders that just kind of engage and lead them up through a business standpoint. We have some parents that listen. You know, they've got kids that are athletes and maybe they're wanting to kind of just better lead their son or daughter in their athletic space. But we also have a lot of athletic directors. We have a lot of athletic directors. And for us, our work with the schools, you know, our ultimate goal is the work, you know, is the impact that we deliver on the athlete. That's certainly the end byproduct, you know, the finished product that we want to focus there. But in doing so, we coordinate a lot with ADs. We do a lot of work with coaches to obviously help impact the teams and the players. So for today, we're really going to go and focus our attention on the AD. On the AD. And I want to challenge what I believe is the trait that when an AD has this trait, it is the ultimate game changer. And I'm not going to share it yet. I'm going to wait a second, okay? But if they get this trait, holy smokes, everything changes, okay? Before I get there, though, let me share the three levels of ADs. And we've classified this. I've written a couple pieces on this. When we talk about ADs, I've found in my experience over the last 10 years, you really got three levels to it. And I don't want to say red, gray, green, although that's what we always do with the anytime I have three levels, because I don't want to say the bottom level is bad. So I don't want that red. That may be a little harsh, okay? But I will say there's different shades of gray. And I would say this is a lower shade of gray. The second level is a higher shade of gray. The third level is a green.
Okay. Dark gray to light gray to green. Okay.
Go through the whole spectrum here of colors here. All right. This lowest level of AD is what I call the admin AD, the administrative AD. This is an AD who's really only focused and on just taking care of all the administrative duties that ADs have to take care of. And they've got a lot on their plate. Coordinating transportation, coordinating scheduling, coordinating the fields, making sure the fields are in good condition, all the paperwork, right? All the communication that needs to go out to the community, to the parents, making sure there's staffing for the games, all that quote unquote administrative side of the job, which is obviously a lot. Yeah. That is their focus, and that is really the extent of what they produce. Yeah. They do their job, and they say, well, that's my job, and that's what I do, right? And I take care of it, and we need it. You know, we're thankful that ADs do that portion of their job. So that's the lowest level. Now, granted, you could argue there is a lower level of an AD who doesn't even do that part of their job well. That's a different story, right? They're probably not in their position long. Yeah. But if someone that could maintain long employment in the AD role, they are living in that admin. They make sure all their I's are dotted, T's are crossed. They don't let things slip through the cracks. So they never actually put themselves in a position where they're doing anything negatively enough to ever jeopardize their standing as an employee. So they can maintain long employment living in that admin side. Fair? That's level one. Level two is the reactive AD. It's the reactive AD. So the reactive AD, to be at level two, they had to have and continue to do all the duties of the level one. So they do all the admin stuff. They take care of all that, all the I's dotted, T's crossed. They cover that. They then add on this element of a reactive spirit where they are in full support and will help support all of their coaches on all the different requests that they have, all the different little inquiries and the special interests and the different things that their coaches want to do. But it's always in a reactive state. You'll hear an AD say, listen, yeah, I mean, if my coaches come to me, I will do whatever I can to honor it. I'll do whatever I can to make it work, to bring it to life. So, you know, yeah, listen, because I work for them, they'll say. I work for my coaches. That's my team. So if my coaches need something, they come to me. I'm going to do what I can to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to bring it to life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But you know that quote we always say, good is good not enough. Good enough if better is an option. Yeah. The reactive AD is a good option, but it's actually a bad option. If you were presented with two options, with one being the better option, but you picked the worst of the two options, now you are settling. And there is a better option. And the better option is what we call the proactive AD. See, the reactive says, I'm going to wait essentially for the coaches to come to me with the requests, with the desire to grow, whatever it is, and I'm going to try to honor it. But I'm not going to go and drive it. I'm not going to take the initiative to bring it to them. I'm not going to lead them to any wells to drink from, right? Now, if they get thirsty, I'll get the water, but I'm not bringing the water to them. No, I'm going to let them do their own thing. And then a lot of ADs don't jump to the proactive side of the AD because they don't want to overstep. They don't want to interfere. They want the coach to be able to let the coach do what the coach does, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to tell the coaches how to operate, but in turn, they actually have convinced themselves to be so reactive where they pull back, where they're not even actually leading them up. They're not even leading them up. They've actually convinced themselves taking a back seat is the best position to best drive your program.
Wow.
Your athletic program as a whole. And all of a sudden, they don't proactively drive anything. They're either living in the admin side alone, or they're just simply responding to the different inquiries, but they're not driving anything proactively. They're not bringing things to the coaches. They're not, you know, going out of their way to try to uplift the teams, find resources, find different ways to change and add value. No, they don't want to get to that place. But when you do, man, you're entering into this proactive athletic director state and everything changes. Now, let me pause here because there's some depth and some different levels that we're going to go. Leon, you've been doing this for a handful of years. What are your thoughts on the three levels, the admin, the reactive, the proactive?
Oh, my gosh, man, this is so good. When you think about the level one, you said it. It's a lot on their plate. You know, it's a lot on their plate. You know, they're coordinating. The level two is the reactive one, you know, but it's a lot on their plate. But they're also kind of waiting for the coaches to say what they need. But the proactive AD, ooh, that's powerful right there. And the way that you described it, each AD, it kind of makes me think of being a servant, you know, the servant of the school, the servant of the program. You know, the servant is pretty much responsible for, you know, I mean, pretty much the culture of the entire school. You know, when you have that in your hands, like you can't even debate with being, you know, reactive and proactive. Like you have to take responsibility and be proactive. You know, when you think of reactive ADs or ADs on that level one, it's like a silent killer. You know, I know you say this all the time.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Because it doesn't yell. You know, it just drags. It's just slow progress. You know, just slowly erodes. You know, it's like they're in, but they're not all the way in. You know, it kills the momentum. It weakens the culture. You know, if you stay at that level one, because it's just, you know, you're just coordinating. You know, and even at the level two, it's like you're not taking responsibility. You're not, you know, pushing forward. You're not setting a standard. You're not raising the expectation, you know, for the coaches, for the athletes. You're not leading with a sense of, you know, urgency and focus. You know, so we want to be at that proactive level, because that's when the improvement happens, you know, at that proactive level. So, man, this is good. I done took notes and everything, man. I'm writing this down, you know, because those three levels.
And you know what it really looks at? When I look at the one and two, they are varying levels of managing your program. But when you get to the third level, now we're leading our program.
Okay.
Right. So there's a lot of conversation in the corporate space about like the difference between managing and leading.
Yep.
And that's what I think about with these different levels of the AD. I think there's some ADs that are managing their programs.
Mm-hmm.
They're managing. Mm-hmm. They're putting out fires. They're doing the things they have to do. Right. Mm-hmm. They're scheduling. They're doing admin stuff. They're just managing it. You are not leading your athletic program as an AD unless you enter into the third state, period. You can say what you want to say. Man, leaders are drivers.
Yeah.
Leaders are drivers. You are not in the driver's seat driving it. I put a quote the other day that said, if I was an AD, my coaches would be tired of me bringing resources to them.
Come on.
They would be tired of me, like, coming to them with things, with ideas, with resources to drive them closer to winning, to raise the standard. They would. They would. And that's just partially how I'm wired, but it's also because I have the traits. And I teased earlier, I have the trait. And it's the trait that I still believe is the key trait to help drive ADs to this third highest level. And when you get this trait as an athletic director, I believe everything changes. It is the trait of competitiveness.
Ooh.
It's the trait of competitiveness.
Yeah, you got to have a competitive spirit. Yeah, I think I know where you're going with it, but go ahead, dive into it.
And the reason I say this is because the competitive spirit is the one that is never content. The competitive spirit is one that is entrenched in a growth mindset. We got to get better. We can get better. That's a competitive mindset. It's one that wants to beat their competition. It's one that wants to raise the standard in the athletic program to be the best of the best.
Yeah.
The competitiveness fuels a pride in your program. That, like, when I'm competitive and I wear my school's logo, like, I want it to be like the dominant.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be the best of the best. Mm. And there are ADs that when I look across their program and I see the complacency and I see the lowered standards of excellence, I see coaches just not being their best. I see teams not perform, you know, just all throughout the program, you're seeing all this, like, this mediocrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes me just look at the AD and almost just want to yell and be like, don't you want to win? And I know it's not all about winning, but once again, look at the history of the word of winning. It's connected to thriving, flourishing, and succeeding. So I'm not just talking about scoreboards. I'm talking about the mindset of thriving, flourishing, and succeeding, which can show up in a variety of different ways, not just scoreboard related. But when I look at an AD that's living in the one and the two levels, I literally just want to go, don't you want to win? Okay. Yeah. Like, where is your pride? Yeah. Don't you want to raise the standard? Don't you want to push the envelope? Don't you want your teams, your programs to be the best of the best?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you sitting on your hands waiting?
Yeah, and who are you? Look at what you're teaching. Because as an AD, you're actually, you know, people are watching you. People are watching your movements as an AD. You know, what's the message that you're, signaling to the people that are watching you, the athletes, the kids?
So let's actually, you bring up a great point. All right, the reactive. Let's just use this generalization. Waiting for their coaches to come to them, and then they'll respond and try to honor and bring it to life. let's say our coaches follow that approach. And let's say you're a football coach. Their growth is going to be led by reacting to what the players want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the players say, hey, coach, we need a 7-man sled, coach. Oh, you guys want a 7-man sled? Oh, okay, let me see if I can do it. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, coach, we should do off-season workouts this summer. Is that what you guys want to do? Okay, all right. But then also knowing that there's going to be a handful of things that the players don't ask about because they aren't thinking about it. Imagine being a coach that was not a driver of success, that wasn't actually proactively bringing their players anything, but instead sat back and was like, yeah, we're just going to go through the off season. You know, if my players bring anything up, then I'll try to honor it. But if they don't, we'll just go. I'd look at you and be like, what? Dude, get out there and start bringing, like, what are you doing? Like, set your players up for success. Drive it. Like, what do you mean you're waiting for them? Yeah. You're waiting for them to ask for it. No, set yourself up. Go drive it. And that is the mindset. But once again, I think about it, it goes back to the competitiveness.
Yeah, that's good.
I believe when it's fueled inside of you, for example, I got an AD that comes to mind. I've got a couple actually that immediately come to mind that I'll be on the sideline of a game and I'll be watching the game with them. Okay. And we spend the whole game together, frankly. Like, we're not playing. We're not the coaches. Like, we're both observing. And there are some ADs. They are a nervous mess during the game. Oh, they are nervous. They are like, oh my gosh, like animated. They're like, oh my gosh, this, that, another. And the refs, and I mean, they are all in. And it is clear as day they want to win. And it's also those same ADs that were having these conversations of growth during the whole game. Or, you know, where they're saying like, man, listen, this team is close, man. Adam, what are your thoughts, man? What can we do for this program, for this team? Because they're close. What can we do to get them over the hump? What can we do? And they're literally examining each of their teams, each of their coaches, each of their athletes, almost game planning during the game and during our interactions about, like, how can we get them to the next level? Adam, do you have any thoughts? How can we get them to the next level? Like, is there anything I can offer to my programs that will help get them to the next level, Adam? What do you think? And I can tell it's like being sourced from this place of, and that AD wants to win. That AD wants to be good. He or she wants their programs to be the best of the best. And it's incredible.
Yeah. It's almost like the followership dynamic. Those ADs are enjoyable to lead. You know, they show a certain level of growth, a hunger to actually grow and push through. But, you know, that competitive mind state is just, it's different when you're different, man. It's different. You know, we see it. I mean, I don't know if you want to drop this in there, but you were talking about, you know, a situation where an AD, you know, wanted to, you know, set up more sessions with not the actual team, but the actual coaches. Like, that's an AD that's on a level 3. Like, he's so proactive that he said the program's not enough for just the athletes. We want the program throughout the year for the actual coaches. That is a competitive. In fact, that's not competitive. That AD wants to dominate. He doesn't want to compete anymore. He wants to go to the next level of competitiveness. And
I mean, I'll share the exact language, actually. He wants 8 to 10 sessions with his coaches. Mm-hmm. He wants every coach in the building to be, quote, world class. Mm-hmm. He wants them to be world class. He wants the standard in the program to be as high as possible. And he says, in my role as an AD, like, I need to do my job building them, mm-hmm. developing them, helping lead them, to help them be better. So, you know, he said, I want to do 8 to 10 sessions with the coaches, right? Most of the time when we do sessions, we do it with the team. He goes, you know, I'm sure, you know, they'll probably latch on to do some sessions with you with their teams, but My focus right now, I want them to be at their best. And he used the term. He said world class. He said, you know, I want the standard continue to rise in my athletic program. And he said, I want them to be the best of the best. Yeah. And now there's an AD, the level two wrestles with that thought compared to level three. Level three says, I'm going to help drive it. Now the level three is also admitting, like, in acknowledging, like, I'm not going to be such a driver that I'm like on their practice field, literally telling them how to like actually like call the plays. Yeah. Like, yes, there is autonomy you got to give to the coaches. Like, let them do their thing. But the reactive coach or the reactive AD thinks of what we just shared about that AD saying, I'm going to train on my coaches. They go, but I don't want to put more on their plate. I don't want to make them have to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. It's understandable what you're saying. It's understandable. You have to wrestle with, then what's the cost?
Yeah.
What's the cost? So in turn, because you don't want to have them do more or have them attend this or whatever the case may be, now you're okay with just the complacency potentially? Yeah. You're okay with them not meeting your standards, right? Yeah. Are you okay with mediocrity in the program? Are you okay with receiving 4 to 5 emails a season from parents who are upset at the leadership of their kid's coach because the kid's coach is not a great coach or leader? And in turn, they mismanaged this and they mismanaged this and they didn't handle this situation well. And now all of a sudden there's all this backlash where you could have helped prevent it if you actually equipped and developed them. Right. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with incredible rates of turnover in your athletic program where coaches leave because they aren't being poured into, they're not being developed, they're not being led, right? And all of a sudden they leave to the program that frankly does have a level three AD.
Now we're talking.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, count the cost. Count the cost. What happens?
But I don't want to make them do anything. You better manage that. You better manage that. And I'm going to tell you, one of the data points that I speak about in the corporate setting is the top three reasons individuals are leaving organizations right now, corporately, work-wise, okay? The first reason doesn't necessarily apply to this. There's a lot of people, and this is all deep into studies of exit interviews, of people leaving an organization, and they do their exit interviews and exit surveys. Mm-hmm. And Gallup has a lot of data on this. The number one reason doesn't necessarily apply. A lot of people are leaving organizations because they just don't feel aligned with the mission. They don't feel like the company's outward focus, philanthropic enough, mission-driven enough. Okay. Second reason, though, they are leaving because they didn't feel like the organization invested in their development and growth great enough.
That hit home right there. Yeah. That's
the second reason why people are leaving. Now, admin AD, let's take the level one and level two AD and throw them into the corporate space, for example, just using it metaphorically. Well, the admin AD is not investing in the leadership growth and development of their coaches because they're just doing the admin. They're doing the bare minimums. The reactive isn't really doing it unless the coach is pushing for it.
Right.
Hey, coach, I want to go to this 2-day conference. Hey, coach says, hey, I want to go to this 2-day conference for coaches down here in Virginia, down here in North Carolina. Can I use some of the funds to get there? AD then tries to get there. But if the coach never asks for it, the AD never brings it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then it's just stagnant. Well, basically, if you're level one, level two, you're opening the door to that second most frequent reason why people are leaving, why people are not staying, So, wow. So there is a retention in this as well.
Yeah.
Right. So for us, this level three, man, there is just so much growth. And I feel this even stronger of the level three because, and why I feel like 80s have to get there. And let me also, quick little caveat, I also recognize there's a lot of ADs that are burned out. There's a lot of ADs that are tired. There's a lot of ADs that are putting in many, many hours. So the thought of level three is just more hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's also part of the wrestling here. You just have to reframe that conversation because what if, yes, there's still a lot of hours, especially in level three, but man, they are more rich hours. They're more fruitful hours.
Yeah.
They are the better hours within the job. Yeah. You see, we always say we never want coaches to have to do more. We're always sensitive to that. ADs are always sensitive to that. That's a misnomer. It's not that coaches don't want to do more. They don't want to do more of the crappy parts of the job.
That part, come on, man. All work works. It's either working for you or working against you. Right? And you got to make that. Oh, that's so good. Go there.
Yes,
go.
They don't want to come in and have to do another like boring like admin meeting where they've got to learn new policy and procedure. They don't want to have to fill out more forms. They don't want to have to take another, you know, sexual harassment, portal training for 90 minutes, yep. Right? They don't want to have to like do bullying training for 30 minutes of how to like all stuff that's important and necessary. That's the stuff they don't want to have to do more of. So for us, it's not a matter of like having them to do more or even you having to do more. It's actually repositioning the work you are doing to say the more that you will be doing is the better work. It's the richer work. I've never met a championship coach who is mad that their season is continuing as they progress through the playoffs because they keep winning. I've never met one. Oh my gosh, we keep winning. Oh gosh, now we've got to go to the semis. Then, hold on. Are you telling me if I win the semis, I've got to do another week to the state championship? You mean I got to keep going at this? That is the case in point as to why coaches, their complaint is not about having to do more.
Yeah.
It's more about what they have to do more of.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because in Maryland, if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, it is the best thing a high school coach could get. That means you are on your path to state championship. In fact, every coach takes pictures of their Thanksgiving practice that are still alive in the tournament. Yep. And they say, we are lucky enough to still be practicing. My friends over at QL, man, John Kelly, he always says, man, nothing better than practicing Thanksgiving morning, man.
Yeah.
Well, hold on, coach. But if you're practicing Thanksgiving morning, your regular season ended right after Halloween. You had to do three or four more weeks of work. You think he's complaining about it? Nope. Nope.
Not at all.
Well, hold on. But he had to do more. It's not about more. So ADs, wrestle with. I get that you have a lot on your plate. I recognize the burnout, maybe the exhaustion. Man, I think some of that may be coming from having to do more of the work you don't like doing. We're not seeing the growth.
You don't have to do because we can come in and help you. Use your help.
And I always say, like, burnout culture, which there's a lot of conversation about burnout culture. Burnout culture is not about the amount of work you do. It's more about the results you receive. Because the burnout is significantly less when you see growth and progress being made.
Right, right.
Right. Like the chances of me being burned out if I'm winning in business
is
very low.
Yeah.
Now, if I have to make 20 sales calls and I get none of them, I'm burned out.
Yeah, for sure.
It's about a correlation in the results. So ADs, once again, I understand the exhaustion. I understand a lot on the plate, but you have to reframe it. And I believe when you get to start doing more of the work that's really driving the success and building the momentum, you're actually going to find yourself not burned out. You're actually going to find yourself ignited.
Yeah.
Ignited. I mean, there will be a fire and a flame inside you. But going back to what I was saying, why I feel even more passionate about this, Leon. When you enter into this place of athletics, you are entering into a gifted opportunity. One, you are in the business of impacting young people. You are in the business of impacting young people. And if you aren't interested in doing a little bit extra to really deliver a higher level of impact on them, frankly, please step aside. Yeah. Step aside. The admin ADs, step aside. You're in a gifted opportunity to influence young people in an incredible way. And trust me, I've seen it. You've seen it. We've seen it. Incredible ADs raise the level of all these programs, which then in turn raises the level of all the kids in the community. They can transform a place. Yep. If you just want to do the admin, you are missing an opportunity, because it then plays into the second point here. When you have kids in athletics, you have a captive audience and you have something they want. They want to play the sport. They want to be on the team. They want to win and thrive. That's one of the reasons why I love what we get to do, because we have an engaged audience when we work with teams. When they go into class, you're fighting for their attention. They may not want to be in class. They don't want to sit in world history, whatever. They don't want to, per se. They don't want to go in this algebra 2, right? Like, that isn't necessarily the most fun, most attractive thing. Man, when they enter into the sports space, they want to be there. Yeah. You have a captive audience to then impact and influence. Mm-hmm. So you're in the business of impacting and influencing young people, and you're gifted the opportunity that when you have them engaged. Do something. Get yourself to be a level 3 AD. Your coaches need it. Your players need it. Your community needs it. It's the game changer.
Wow. Wow, that's a good point. That's a way to close right there. Yeah, I just want to add in there, you know, just you know, stay encouraged, ADs. You know, just do something with your will, man. Be willing to build programs that don't just participate, but they dominate, they compete. You know, they compete at a higher level. So, man, this is so good. It's so good.
Leon, I appreciate you, man. And listen, I don't think we would be able to say we're in the business of leading them up without conversations like this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's an AD listening right now that, guess what? We're trying to lead you up.
Yeah.
We're trying to lead you up. You may be level 1. You may be level 2. You may have been level 3 and then got burnt out.
Yeah.
And moved to level 2.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't produce the way you had intended, and it discouraged you. Like, man, keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep pushing yourself to be a level 3 AD. The ripple effect of success is so significant when you get a great athletic director in the building. Hey, listen, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam, he is Leon. We appreciate you listening. Until next time, we are out.